come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got Cruz. 35, 30.
One of the end zone punt. Logan intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.
And welcome to Tuesday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live. So glad you could join us. Alongside Jeff Fiegels, I'm Lance Meadow. With you for the next 60 minutes, we'll be breaking down all that is happening with respect to the New York Giants. We will get to your phone calls at 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. Two ways, though, to interact with us on this program. You can also reach out to us on Twitter using hashtag GiantsChat. We will recap a little bit about the Titans win for those of you who still want to weigh in on that victory, that final. Finally snapped the Giants' seven-game skid. Jeff and I will also look ahead to the Redskins game as they will be playing Washington for the second time this season following that 45-14 victory back in week four, and that was by far one of their best offensive performances. Yeah. So a lot to delve into with respect to that. But Jeff, let's start with this Titans game, and we spoke about it on the radio post-game show. A number of bright spots that came to the forefront in this game, most notably the rookie class, which really continues to shine here.
Yeah, I mean, it has to happen sooner or later. The young guys, you know, in a season that it's been for the Giants this year, you're not usually accustomed to having rookies come in and make such an impact. Maybe just one or two are here, but you know, Andre Williams and Odell Beckham and now Devon Kennard. Is it Devon or Devon?
Devon.
It's Devon.
It's Devon. Devon.
Devon. Devon.
Potato. Potato. Yeah, you name whatever. It. Yeah.
but ultimately, those three guys have played an important role in this season. Towards the end of the season. What I mean is they're getting to playing time. They're showing that they're worthy of being on the field. And in this evaluation that the Giants are in right now, going forward into the next three games and into the next year, these guys fit predominantly in the role of what the Giants are going to be next year offensively and defensively, certainly with Andre Williams in most likely the backup position behind Rashad Jennings. And then Odell Beckham, enough said about him. He's going to be a good one. And Kennard, I think from the beginning, and we talked a little bit about this on our postgame show on Sunday, is that the Giants coming out of training camp really had an idea of what this guy could do for this team. And he really came out of OTAs and out of training camp with a lot of knowledge, football knowledge. He comes from a football background. I actually played on the same team with his dad in Arizona. He's played multiple positions when he played at University of Southern California. Excuse me. And so he's got a lot of knowledge of the game. And they really like what they saw out of him. And now you're looking at what they did in this game. And they helped win this game on Sunday, and along with the turnovers and all the other stuff.
Eight sacks. Devon Kennard had two of them. He's now
and last week too.
Correct. He had two the previous week in the loss to the Jacksonville Jaguars. And you know, they utilized the linebackers a lot in terms of their blitz packages in the victory against Tennessee, and that was nice to see. McClain also had a sack.
Well, we were talking about the matchup. What this Titans defense does, the Ray Horton's defense, is they're always blitzing, and you got to always kind of be aware of where their other outside linebacker is in that 3-4 defense that they play. Well, you know, it was a reverse effect with the Giants this week. They had to look out for where Kennard was, or you know, one of the other linebackers, McClain. So, and they were doing a lot of twists and stunts, and finally, you saw the blitzes working. And I'm sure we'll get some calls today from the guys that were saying, you know, why don't we ever blitz? And the reason was because they never worked. But they worked this game. They worked last game. And collectively, Lance, the last two games, you think about how many sacks this team has gotten in the last 2 weeks is impressive.
15 sacks in the last two combined, whereas they only had 19 in those first 11 games. So certainly they have nearly matched the total from those 11 games, and it's because a lot of people are chipping in.
A lot of people are chipping in, and you know, now you're going into game plan against the Redskins, who gave up six sacks against the Rams last week. This team is on a roll and getting pressure and getting back to what the Giants defense needs to do. And you look at the last 2 weeks, especially this week, the Giants proved that they can still play on defense. And really what it came down to, in my opinion, was mental errors. There wasn't a lot of them. Guys doing what they were supposed to be doing. And once again, creating turnovers. Three turnovers, you got a chance to win when that happens.
And Kennard was responsible for one of them because on his sack, he was able to force Mettenberger to lose the ball, and Marcus Kuhn, of all players, was able to hustle back and score a touchdown.
It was kind of funny. We were listening to the game. We watched the TV version, but we listened to Bob Papa and Carl Banks. And as Kuhn picked up that ball and Bob Papa was yelling, he was doing the call on the radio, he was laughing as he was kind of chugging down the sidelines. It was pretty funny.
Not an image you see every day. It was funny because they were talking to Marcus Kuhn in the locker room, and they were asking him, do you remember the last time you scored a touchdown? He was like, I think you have to go back to Germany when I actually played quarterback. I didn't even realize he was a quarterback at one point.
Wow. Well, if he was that big and playing quarterback, I would have just – I would talk about a read option. I would have just catch the ball and, or, you know, take the snap and just go. How are you going to tackle that guy? That's incredible.
But the defense was very opportunistic in the last game, and that was nice to see because this is something we talked about leading up to the contest, the fact that when the Giants don't get a takeaway, it doesn't equate to a victory. They had lost 14 consecutive games in the regular season when they don't have that turnover, but they were very active against the Titans.
And, of course, Captain Obvious here, when they're turning the ball over, they're not winning either. So, you know, they did a nice job, and Eli will tell you that the interception he threw in that last game against the Titans was just a bad throw, but reality is that when the Giants don't turn it over and the defense gets turnovers, they win a lot of games. And which brings us into, you know, this game coming up. And we'll talk about the Redskins game earlier in the season and the turnovers in that game and how, you know, it really is a recipe for success for this Giants team to win.
We were talking about the rookie class to start the program, and we will get to some of the Redskins' ins and outs from that first contest, as well as looking ahead to the matchups coming this Sunday. Just want to read you some notable accomplishments from Andre Williams and Odell Beckham out of this contest. Beckham's 11 receptions were the highest total ever by a Giants rookie wide receiver, and he's tied for second among all of the franchise's first-year players. Tight end Mark Bavaro set the record with 12 catches at Cincinnati on October 13th, 1985. And then another tight end, Jeremy Shockey, had 11 receptions against Washington on November 17th, 2002. Then you look at Andre Williams. He rushed for 131 yards and a touchdown on 24 carries. Beckham also had 130 yards on those 11 catches. And according to the Elias Sports Bureau, it's the first time in Giants history that the team had rookies with 100 rushing yards and 100 receiving yards in the same game. So a very rare accomplishment for this Giants duo.
And we kind of had an idea, you know, part of our over-under questions that we do on our pregame show.
Which you love, by the way.
Which I yeah, I just absolutely love that
favorite segment.
I do like it when I get them correct, which I think I got a lot correct this week. But, you know, Odell Beckham was one of the – was he going to have 90 yards? And, that was a sure fire on my opinion. It was. The other one was, you know, were the Giants going to rush more than the Titans? And we really didn't know if Rashad Jennings was going to be the guy because coming off his injury. But he got into the game on a limited basis. But, you know, really they gave the ball to Andre Williams because he was healthy. And that 50-yard run certainly built up his statistics. But I thought the young man did a nice job. I had a chance to visit with him a couple weeks ago at one of our fantasy football appearances. And, you know, he's a young kid, but I swear you think he's been in the league for like 10 years. He's very subtle. He's very driven as far as what he needs to do and about the team. So I was very impressed with him, and I think that it's carrying over to what he's doing on the field.
And, Jeff, you could say that about this entire rookie class. I mean, this is a group that is well beyond its age, just the way they talk, their mannerisms, and certainly the way they perform and digest the playbook.
Well, I mean, if you look at Odell Beckham and the team that he comes from, there's no question that college program is like, you know, one step below the National Football League. And Les Miles, what he does there and how he runs this, you know, even in the Southeast Conference, you're playing in big games, you're in the media. Boston College, certainly the same thing with Andre Williams, and you look at what he did up there. He was the spotlight of that team after how many yards he has run for his senior year. And then, you know, you just and Kennard at USC. So, you know, these three guys are coming from big, big programs. There's a lot of press. They've learned over the years, 4 or 5 years that they have played. Or did Beckham come out early? He did, right?
Yeah, Beckham did come out early. He didn't stay there for the entire.
But still, you know, they come from big programs, so they're a little bit seasoned with the media. And, of course, when you get here, the media is exponentially more than what they've ever come from. But They're a little seasoned, right? And they've been behaving themselves, which is good.
We want to remind listeners that they are winning cash every week at DraftKings.com, America's favorite one-week fantasy football site, where it's like a new season every time you play. Hurry, get free entry into the $100,000 fantasy football contest this weekend, where first place takes home 10 grand. Head to DraftKings.com now. Enter code BLUE to play for free. DraftKings.com, bigger events, bigger winnings, bigger millionaires. Enter BLUE for free entry now at DraftKings.com. That is DraftKings.com. We are taking your phone calls at 201-939-4513, 201-939-4513. He's Jeff Fiegels. I'm Lance Meadow. So glad you could join us for Tuesday's edition of Big Blue Kickoff Live. And to start the festivities off, we head to Chicago, where Abdul is. Abdul, what's happening?
What's going on, John? What's going on, Jeff?
Howdy. How are
you doing? Abdul. What's happening?
I'm sorry about last time. I think bad receptions I had got cut off. But I wanted to say Odell Beckham. This guy's the truth. That was a great draft pick. I mean, he's given us promise for years to come. And what's his name? Kennard? Am I saying his name right?
Kennard, correct. Yeah.
He played really well. But you know what? I just can't really get my, like, you know, the Titans, they're not really much competition if you really look at it. Like, the Giants really supposed to win that game. It's like, you know, you can't really look at that as a great win, that we really went out there and played a real lousy team. I want to see how these guys perform, these rookies, these second-year players, how they perform against a team with a winning record. A team with, like, you know, we played the Eagles at the last game, right? The last game of the season.
Yeah.
I want to see how they're going to perform against, like, you know, a winning team.
Well, you could see how Odell Beckham performed against the Cowboys the first game he played in. I don't think we got to worry about that, really. I think these guys are – I think that, like you said, you touched on every one of them. It will be nice to see what they do next year being a second-year player. But I think these guys are for real. I think all three of them have a potential to do well, even though they're – the Titans game, you're right. We can't talk about them too much, but they're not a good team, and we're supposed to beat them team. But really – you know, they're on the schedule, and the Giants were just looking for a win, and they found a team that they could beat up, and they did.
Yeah, I'm so happy that we actually won a game.
No,
you know,
question.
Because I'm out here in Chicago, and I have these Bears fans really riding me really hard, laughing at me. You know,
as hard at them. Yeah. They're not too good either.
Yeah, they're struggling.
Yeah, they're
as well.
Not really good either. That's why I keep telling them, like, your team is garbage too. But you know, that's we were successful. We won some Super Bowls. No, 11 and 07, and they hadn't won a Super Bowl since 85, so I see why the hate is coming.
Yeah.
But anyway, Jeff Fiegels, I just wanted to tell you one of my favorite Giants of all times, man. I still love you.
Well,
man.
I appreciate
that. Still do.
Yeah, thank you.
Still do, man.
Thank you. I appreciate it very much. And, you know, thanks for being a diehard Giants fan and a Jeff Fiegels fan. Appreciate it.
All right, Abdul, thanks so much for weighing in. Appreciate the call.
Okay.
And Abdul was alluding to the fact, and we talked about this on the postgame show Sunday, about how much stock or substance you put in the victory. And, Jeff, you brought up a good point. You can't control your schedule. I mean, you see who's on the schedule, and you're supposed to beat up teams that you're better than.
And, every team in the National Football League has a game like this, because there isn't 32 teams that are going to be 10-6 every year. There's always a team on that schedule that you come up against. And really, when we look back about the Giants' season, if they could have got through some of those teams, you know, San Francisco, the Dallas game, the Jacksonville Jaguars, and then you're looking at the back end of this schedule where you had the Jacksonville Jaguars, you had the Tennessee Titans. They're on the schedule. You don't know at the beginning of the year how they're going to be, and now you have the Washington Redskins that they got to play next week. You know, this season, if they could have just made some plays and finished some games, I've said it before, we're sitting here talking about a completely different dynamic of what's going on. And with the injuries that this team has had, they could have put themselves in a position to be in, and maybe not the playoffs, but at least to say, you know, with all the 21 injuries that went on IR with this team and how this team persevered through it, we fought, we clawed, and we got to this, and to have this type of a record going into next season was probably a big accomplishment. But instead, they've got four wins. So, ironically, what we just talked about is, You know, right now they're trying to search for if they can just get back to what they did last year at 7-9.
Build some momentum in the later stages of the season, and you just touched on the fact that they have so many injuries. The one positive is that the rookies have had more of an opportunity to shine and take advantage of their playing time. And the last caller, Jeff, was talking about, you know, he wants to see the production against top-tier teams, but you mentioned Odell Beckham's been tested against the number one corner of the opposition each and every week.
Every week.
He torched Richard Sherman against the Seahawks. What else do you need to see?
I don't need to
out
see
of
any
Odell
more
Beckham
from him
at this point.
Yeah. And, you know, I don't need to see, you know, Kennard, he's going to get better as time goes. He's not the player like Odell Beckham where offenses are sitting there going, you know, we got to get 59. They're not doing that yet. And, of course, Andre Williams, you know, he's a backup guy right now. But when he gets a chance to play, just like anybody, when you get a chance to play in the National Football League and it's you're up. You go and do what he did Sunday. That's good stuff. That's what the coach wants to see. That's what the organization wants to see. And it makes people look good. You know, hey, we saw this in this kid, and now he's had a chance to play, and this is what he's going to do.
And one of the things that Tom Coughlin mentioned in his conference call yesterday when he spoke with the media is, you know, you can see the progression, Jeff, with Andre Williams. When you first get in, it's the adjustment from the college game to the professional game. You know, maybe you tend to have some happy feet. You're not seeing the holes. Now you can see he's a much more patient runner.
Well, he's learning behind Rashad Jennings, and you know, Rashad Jennings was just so complimentary of what the game that he had last week. The other thing is that you mentioned is how he's getting better. When you look at his statistics coming out of college catching the football, they were non-existent.
Good point.
The guy would never catch any footballs. Well, he had a couple of receptions last week. He's had, you know, I'm going to guess without looking at the statistics that he's probably had 9 catches on the season. I don't think he had 9 catches in his career at Boston College. But that is a progression that they've noticed that they need to work on it. They work on it in practice, and now they feel confident that they can get the ball to him in the backfield, throwing the ball. It's part of this offense. You look at the way Rashad Jennings catches the ball out of the backfield. If they could get Andre Williams to do the same, and they're working on it, that's even better.
You were close. 14 receptions in 13 games. So they have gotten him involved.
Absolutely.
With respect to that. And they've looked to dump it off, and we saw that in the Titans game. Now, to put that in perspective, in college, which you were touching on, he was barely used as a receiver. He had no receptions his senior year. In total, throughout the 3 years prior, he had a total of 10 receptions. So he surpassed his entire collegiate career.
There it is. So I was right about that.
In 13 games.
Yeah, but 14, yeah. I mean, you know, think about it. It's you know, a little less than one, a little more than one a game, but I, you know, whatever. That's good. And, but I really, and you know, he was hurt for a little bit. He was able to come back, and that's a true sign of a good competitor and you know, good things to come for him.
And we've talked about this quite often, Jeff. Sometimes dumping it off to the running back for a yard or two is just as good as running it.
It's the extension of the running game.
Yeah.
In this offense, that's what it is. And we saw a couple weeks ago where Rashad Jennings took the same little outlet pass. It was a check down, and he ran it for 30 yards. So that can happen. And that's the way that this offense is designed. If the reads aren't there, you check it down and to the running back and see what happens. And if you only get up, you know, you end up getting 3, 4, 5 yards on a check down, that's just as good as a run.
201-939-4513 is the telephone number. Hashtag Giants Chat on Twitter. We'll get to some of your tweets a little bit later on. Right now, let's head back to the phone lines. Dre is in Atlanta. Dre, what's happening?
Hey, Dre.
Hey, what's going on, Fee? What's going on, Lance?
Doing well, Dre.
It's been a little while.
What you got?
Oh, I'm good. Put it like this. I think the Montre Moore has quieted all those that wanted to see him on the field more and didn't understand when the coaches were saying he has to mature. He showed his immaturity and put it on blast. He has to mature. You know, a lot of those.
Yeah, but you know what, though?
Off the board.
Dre, that's, you're right. You're right. And that's just part of being a young player. And he is young. I'm going to say he's 22 years old, maybe 23, but he's young. And he's going to make those mistakes, but you sure hope that what he did on Sunday, he learns from that, and then it won't happen again. But he's a young guy. He's going to learn, and, you know, hopefully going forward. So I think you're right. But he's got some potential now, and he's got some playmaking ability. He's just going to have to grow up a little bit, and I think he certainly will.
I agree. You know, but they said the same thing about him last year, but it apparently it fell upon deaf ears. So this is an opportunity just to pretty much show everybody that, yeah, he still has a lot of growing up to do. He has a lot of potential, but, you know, I mean, even though the season is a wash, reference to the playoffs, I'm stoked with the amount of positives I can say about what we're looking at next year. Odell Beckham and Cruz, if Cruz come back to at least 95% of his ability, those two, oh, my God, both of them stretching the field and his ability to pass the ball, I can see Odell Beckham passing the ball to Cruz and both of them doing a salsa and most dancing in the
end. Spice it up a little bit.
Well, you know what? When you think about what you just said there, it makes sense, okay? And if you kind of go with what the Cowboys are doing these days, the Cowboys shored up that offensive line and got them playing really well. And what that did for them, they have playmakers around them. They have Dez Bryant. They have Jason Witten. They've got DeMarco Murray. What they've done is their defense was never anything to write home about, okay? And I think that some people will say this about the Giants' defense. But for next year, if this offense can just fix the offensive line problem, they're going to be able to take the other team's offenses off the field, and the defense won't have to play as much. That is the recipe for the success of the Dallas Cowboys these days. And then just so happened that the Cowboys' defense is playing better than they thought it was because they're healthy and they're not on the field a lot. So what you said makes sense. If we can just shore up this offensive line and look at the way that the Giants, who they have coming back offensively next year, you're looking at good things.
Yeah, well, thanks for taking my call.
All right,
you're welcome, Dre. Have a good one.
Appreciate the phone call. Thanks so much. Time of possession, what you're hitting on, Jeff, with respect to the Cowboys. They were top 10 all season long in that category.
And when the Giants played them, I think they were number one the last time they played them. So that is kind of where I see the Giants going next year, is that, you know, if they have to try to get the guys that are here to play better first, if they have to make some adjustments and make some transactions, that's fine. But, you know, on the defensive side, there's still a lot of young players on that side, too, that can get better. But that's kind of a recipe, and this is a copycat league. And if you can – the caveat in it is really the problem is, can you fix that offensive line and get it to a point that could be like the Cowboys' offensive line?
Well, and the running game helps that, too, with what DeMarco Murray's been able to accomplish this season. And we saw that on Sunday with the Titans. Listen, when the Giants run the ball, Jeff, it's a different story. I mean, you're dominating time of possession. You put together lengthy drives, which was on full display Sunday.
And time of possession, you know, you take away – when you're making first downs, you're taking away possessions from the other team. And that is all – it's so good for the way that the game goes. And if you don't turn the ball over and you get turnovers, that not only are you taking away series by time of possession, you're taking away series by getting turnovers like the Giants did last week. So look at the time of possessions the Giants had and the defensive turnovers that they got. That equated to the win that they got this week, and it was quite impressive. And you just sure hope that you know, that they can continue to play like this the rest of the season with some of the guys that we don't even know they're really how to pronounce their names these days. I mean,
a lot of movement,
a lot of numbers, and, you know, we're flipping through the roster all the time saying, okay, you know, just last week, five guys go out and five new guys come in, and whoa, you know, so, and, you know, you look at a guy like Mike Harris, who, you know, he's been on the team for now almost a month, and he's starting a football game the other day. It's like, wow. You know, but good for him. You know, he gets a lot of chance to play and makes the best of it.
So same thing with Shockey Brown, who was in for Zach Bowman in the last contest.
Yeah.
They needed a few weeks to learn the system, and now they can contribute on a regular basis.
And Orleans.
Orleans Darkwa.
Darkwa is another one.
We'll save you on that one.
It's tough. I want to say New Orleans.
This roster's putting you to the test, Jeff.
Well, it always has. No matter, it's always put me to the test.
Well, but this one especially the last few weeks.
Man, I just butcher names, I tell you. But Lance does a nice job on our pregame show when we kind of lay it everything out. If there's a tough name, he puts it all out there for
Phonetics,
me.
It's so good.
It's so good. I still mess it up. But that's okay.
Everybody can't be as easy as Bishop Shanky, right?
Yeah, Bishop Shanky. Yep. Yeah, we were just trying to get Bob Papa to say Shanky on the radio.
Correct.
Too.
We came close.
We came close.
We were near.
But Paul DeTino did say Shanky.
Hey, that's mission accomplished right there. If you can get DeTino to screw up a name,
what are they talking about? You know, Bishop Shanky was a running back for the Titans. I call them Shanky for reasons of, you know, Shank, punt, Shanky. But, and then, of course, I got made fun of on the air by those guys because I said Shanky. And then the one Paul DeTino in one of his segments said Bishop Shanky.
There you go. You have that effect on people.
I do.
Let's head back to the phone lines, 201-939-4513. Charlie is in Portland. Charlie, what's happening?
What's up, Charlie?
Hey, Lance. Hey, Jeff. How y'all doing?
Doing well, Charlie. How about yourself? Good. I don't know. I'm afraid to ask, but how you doing?
No, I'm doing good.
Oh, that's good to hear.
Hey, I, It was great. They won, but you got to, you know, they did beat the Titans, like one of the worst teams in the league. They had
Well, but Charlie, aren't you supposed to beat that team? Aren't you supposed to beat that team?
Oh yeah, but they should have beat them by 50 points, not.
Well, I mean, listen, it was a comfortable victory. I mean, now you're really putting it under the microscope here.
I just had a problem with when you're on the goal line and you're on the 3-yard line and you have four downs. Why didn't they just run it four downs? Why didn't they say to the offensive line, guys, we're taking it in, and if we leave, you know, we got four downs to run 3 yards. We're dominating this team. Let's just run the ball in. And if they didn't, they would have, you know, Titans would have been on the 1-inch line, and the defense had stopped them all day. Why is Coughlin kicking a freaking field goal? I mean, it's just, it doesn't make any sense. So conservative when they don't need to be conservative.
Well, but you'd rather have the points, Charlie. And I don't mean to cut you off. I'll let you continue. Wouldn't you rather have the points, though? I mean, you're talking about leave the points off the board.
I would rather have them say, offensive line, dominate this stupid team that we are dominating, and you guys can't get 3 yards? I mean, for God's sakes. I mean, to me, it's like, come on. Offensive line, you can get 3 yards here. And they should have said, we're running four times. So man up, and let's get this done. It would have been great for the offensive line to feel that, you know, for once, that they could actually score, you know, when they're on the goal line and actually run the ball in. I mean, to me, that would have made more sense than kicking a field goal, especially when we're 4-9. At that point, we were 3-9.
Well, in terms of the offensive line production, Jeff, and I'm curious your thoughts, you look at the running numbers as a whole, and Charlie, we'll let you continue, and pass protection. I think the offensive line did a pretty nice job in this last contest.
Pass protection, no sacks, and run production, you know, they ran for 170-something yards,
140-something
yards,
140, yeah.
And you know, I get what you're saying down on the goal line, but we're probably trying to say the same thing in the San Francisco game, right? I mean, you know, it's just like, why don't you run the ball, then they try to throw the ball, the same thing, right? And you hear of, kind of you go through those four plays of the progression of how they had a run called the first play, they had eight in the box, they couldn't block it, they checked out of it. So, you know, we don't know exactly what's going on with the play calling down there, if Eli is checking out of it. But I think from a whole, I understand what you're saying. You know, we're a 3-9 team. We're winning the game physically. We're winning the physical battles, as they always say. Let's just try to impose our will on that team.
Exactly.
And punch it in there. Absolutely.
Yeah. And we ran it two times and we gave up.
Yep.
I mean, that was disappointing to me, just because of, hey, we need to run the ball there. We just really do. And the other thing is, did Kennard just happen? You know, just become a great player or understand the system this week?
No.
Why are we always reactive? Why wasn't this guy rushing the passer like during the 7-game losing streak after the third game we lost? Why didn't they change up and put him in and use him as a pass rusher? I mean,
did he
just wake up this game and he didn't know anything 4 games ago?
Well, Charlie, keep in mind, he did deal with that hamstring injury early in the season, and it takes some time to fully recover. I understand he played the last few games, but, you know, you don't know exactly how close to 100% he was and whether or not they were willing to give him the green light in that department.
Or you're just saying, you know what, hey, listen, what do we got to lose, right? Let's pick up our blitz packages. Let's study a little bit more so that we can make them effective. You have seen that defensive line starting to do a little more twist and the linebackers
doing it.
Yeah, JP's,
they're moving him around.
Well,
but that's what I'm saying. Why didn't we do this before when our season, we still had an opportunity, slight, to still be in the game, you know? And, you know, we wait until we're totally out of it, and then now we're playing all these guys. You know, which is great, but we should have done the personnel changes 4 weeks ago, five weeks ago. And we just hung on to the same players, making the same mistakes. And now, you know, they're moving everybody around. All of a sudden they're smart, you know, when we're, you know, 4-9. I just don't get it. But, I mean, it was good. I'm glad we won.
Sure.
It was a good win. We should have beat them. And hopefully we can have two in a row. We should be able to beat Washington. And then St. Louis and Philly will get killed. But, you know.
See, Charlie, I was just going to compliment you and saying how a good mood you were in. And then you had to, you know, be a Debbie Downer at the end of the call.
And I think a couple weeks ago you call in on a Friday and say, you know what, I'm going to bring some positivity to this show.
Well, that was short-lived, apparently.
And, you know, and now we're like, oh, okay, we got this. But the last two games, we're getting smoked, man. Forget it.
Well, hey, if we can't, you know, St. Louis has got a pretty good pass. And they're pretty awesome. So our offensive line better be able to protect. And the same with Philly. You know what they did to us the first time we played them.
Yeah.
So we're not going up against the Titans. We're not going up against Jacksonville. We're going up against some really good pass rushers. So I hope Eli is protected. And the last two games is pretty scary to me. But anyway, thanks for taking my call, Lance and Jeff.
You got it, Charlie. Thanks for weighing in. And those last two games, it's going to be a good test for a young team.
Hey.
I mean, that's the positive spin of this. They're going to look to try to build some momentum and go up against what Charlie mentioned. St. Louis has pitched back-to-back shutouts in the last two games, and they're very effective getting to the quarterback. And, hey, I'm sure the offensive line is going to be up for the challenge.
Yeah, and I think that they'll game plan around that rush and do something, and they're going to have to. But, you know, right now the focus is on beating the Redskins, and, you know, who in the heck's going to play quarterback for them?
I don't think the Giants are worried about that, Jeff. It's more of a concern about Jake Gruden and company.
Yeah,
it's been a merry-go-round in terms of their quarterback situation.
It's just crazy. And you know, you look at a guy like Jake Gruden, and you see you see him talking, and he's beat down. You thought Tom Coughlin was beat down, and this team was beat down. Just go over there and look at some of the clips of the Washington Redskins press conferences with Jay Gruden and some of the other players. You got guys that played for the organization that are borderline Hall of Fame football players just absolutely just tearing apart the defensive coordinator, Jim Haslett. I mean, it just doesn't get any better than that. And we're playing, the Giants are playing them this week. And, you know, let them have all that stuff. The Giants are coming off a win. And these guys are still searching for, you know, who's going to play quarterback. So, but you can't look at that. You just got to take it into perspective and say, you know what, we're going to play at home against a team that's worse than us. And we just beat a team last week that was worse than us. We lost to a team the week before that was worse than us. So let's get our stuff right and go out and get another victory.
You have to take advantage of who's on the schedule. And let's briefly talk about the Redskins before we get back to the phone lines at 201-939-4513. He's Jeff Fiegels. I'm Lance Meadow. I was listening to the Redskins press conference as you were alluding to what Jay Gruden was talking about, at least from an injury standpoint. Colt McCoy suffered a neck injury in the contest this past week, and he left late in the fourth quarter, was replaced by RG3. McCoy is going to undergo further tests, so his status is up in the air. Gruden did announce in the event McCoy can't go, RG3 would get the nod, not Kirk Cousins, who the Giants went up against the first time. And RG3 has had his fair share of struggles, Jeff. Part of it is coming back from that ankle injury. He dislocated his ankle early in the season, and part of it is him adapting to a new offense like any other quarterback has to go through.
Yeah, and you know, I look at it from a matchup perspective. I think that RG3 gives the Giants defense a little bit more of a headache than the other guys, because they continually have a problem of stopping the read option, and we've seen it time and time again in Seattle, and then you saw in the Jaguar game, and you know, the San Francisco game, and now when they played the Redskins in the first game, you know, it was Kirk Cousins throwing four interceptions and that kind of stuff. But so it'll be a little bit different. This isn't the first time the Giants are going to go up against RG3, so they can look back and see how they did from that standpoint. But, you know, he's still a very dynamic player. He has a lot to prove right now, which could be dangerous. And really, you know, you don't look at him as being a threat to throw the football, more of using his feet. And we'll just see how the Giants defense does this week against him.
Well, the Giants defense did a great job the first time around. Part of it was the turnovers, but you know, they also kept guys like DeSean Jackson and Pierre Garçon in check. The two of them combined for just three receptions for under 40 yards.
And I think it was a product of really, when you look at who was that first game, you know, you had Demps was playing well. You had Prince had an interception.
Tremaine McBride.
I mean, this was your full backfield that you had, you know, healthy. And really up front, they were putting pressure on Kirk Cousins, and he just had a miserable day throwing this. I mean, I think he had four interceptions in the second half alone. And, you know, offensively, for the Giants, they discovered their tight end that game. If you remember,
that's right,
Larry
that was
Donnell,
his coming out party.
And decided to catch three touchdowns, and then when he wasn't available, they threw one to the other tight end when Daniel fell. So I think they'll probably be covering Donnell this week.
You know, you think at so. Least for the Redskins' sake.
But from an RG3 perspective, you know, the Giants just got to be disciplined. They have to be able to control the read option and understand what he does from a perspective of him moving the football.
And that certainly would be an area of concern if you look at what Blake Bortles has done, Russell Wilson, and so forth.
Yeah.
That could be somewhat of a challenge.
Absolutely.
Going up against RG3. And he's had some success in the previous matchups when you go back to the last few years, Jeff.
Well, yeah, and you go back to what Perry Fuel and the team did. Remember, they got beat on the read option. Then they had a walkthrough where they walked through everybody's responsibilities on the,
yep,
the read option. So maybe they need to pull that tape off the shelf, put it back in, and go over that again, because you're going to see it if RG3 is in there and he's healthy and can run around. And please don't let me see the defensive ends, especially DeMontre Moore, if he's in there now for Kiwanuka, to be undisciplined and dive inside and give this guy a free run outside like Robert Wilson did against the Seahawks in the Giants game. Please.
Well, speaking of DeMontre Moore and company, the one thing that's a positive for the Giants defense heading into this game, they're going up against a team that has allowed its quarterbacks to get sacked left and right. They have lost five in a row, Jeff, and the Redskins have surrendered at least five sacks in each of these losses. So the O-line's been tested and has not come up big time for their quarterbacks.
And at a time, they're getting this defensive line for the Giants that are just on fire. We talked about it earlier. And they're just ready, you know, got their ears pinned back and ready to go.
Listeners are winning cash every week at DraftKings.com, America's favorite one-week fantasy football site, where it's like a new season every time you play. Hurry, get free entry into the $100,000 fantasy football contest this weekend, where first place takes home 10 grand. Head to DraftKings.com now. Enter code BLUE to play for free. DraftKings.com, bigger events, bigger winnings, bigger millionaires. Enter BLUE for free entry now at DraftKings.com. That is DraftKings.com. So glad you could join us on this Tuesday here on Big Blue Kickoff Live with the each and every weekday at noon Eastern. He's Jeff Fiegels. I'm Lance Medel. Let's head back to the phone lines at 201-939-4513, and we check in with Max in NYC. Max, what's happening?
What's up, Max?
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Doing well, Max. What you got?
I just wanted to ask you guys, this isn't so much, you know, what's going to happen, you know, the rest of the season, but I feel like, you know, as a Giant fan, and maybe we're spoiled with the two Super Bowls, but I just feel like since those Super Bowls, you sit every offseason and you evaluate this team. And I feel like the laggering problem is the main problem. I feel like stay the same. And obviously there's always bad teams, but I feel like it's not always, you know, the same problems with every team are the same. But I feel like for a while it's been, you know, especially since the Super Bowls, lack of production from the linebackers. I guess they tried to stir that up with Beeson, but he's injured. Really, you know, since the deal and all of them are retired, haven't really gotten a lot from the offensive line. The pass rush, really, since JPP's rookie, or I guess second year was his big year, hasn't really been there. So I just feel like, you know, obviously they're going to try to address both, but to succeed, you know, where do you think they need to address more as far as, you know, defensive line or offensive line? Because I feel like those have been the two big problems for a while now.
Well, in my opinion, for what it's worth, just being covering the team and kind of seeing how things are going, I think it starts up front on both sides of the football. I think you start there. You make your evaluations and whether it's guys are going to be leaving and guys are coming here. But I think – or the guys that are here have to play better. And I certainly think the guys that are here have been they've been studied. They've gone out and they've been drafted or brought in here in free agency. And Jerry Reese has evaluated these guys. And if he was sitting next to me right here, he would tell you that these guys got to play better. And you know, the guys up front will tell you the same thing. So I think it starts up front, because when you move from front to back in both places, I think you move to the quarterback position offensively, he's still there. And then the running back and receivers, you got stuff on the offense. Moving from front to back, you certainly got to maybe, you know, upgrade a little bit in the linebacking position. You got Kennard coming here. You don't know if McClain or Beeson are going to be back next year. But and then in the secondary, hey, you got guys that are capable of coming back with Thurman and Prince and McBride. So, you know, it starts for me up front. I know that was a little long-winded, but the fact is I think it all goes to both ways on the defense and offensive lines.
All right, Max, appreciate the phone call. Thanks so
Thank
much
you,
for weighing in.
You're welcome.
201-939-4513, hashtag Giants chat on Twitter. Let's head back to the lines. Steve's in Staten Island. Steve, what's happening?
Hey, Lance, what's going on, buddy? How are you? What's up, Jeff?
Doing well,
Steve. How are you?
What's all right,
listen, I'm good, good. Listen, you know, you know what I'd like to see? I mean, you know, for the remainder of the season anyway with this team. It's
three
like
wins.
You touched on
that's
a little bit earlier, Lance. You know, you got all these kids, these young draft picks, these kids. You know, listen, I'd like to see them really step up now. I mean, this is what it's about. You know, you're playing for your future here. And you know who I really like to see? Because he came under a lot of criticism this year. Because, you know, his head maybe wasn't really in the game a lot. But I'd love to see Reuben Randle really step up. Because it's like I talked about yesterday when I spoke to Howard and John. You know, next year with a healthy Cruz, they're going to be double-teaming Beckman and Victor Cruz. And that's going to open the doors for your Donnells. And it's going to open the doors for your Reuben Randles. You know, I'd like to see really Reuben Randle end the season very, very strong. You know, what do you think about that?
I agree. Right? I mean, until Beckham got on in the lineup, Reuben Randle was one of the most targeted receivers in the league, if you can believe that, okay? At least on this team, too. And, you know, he wasn't getting all the catches, but certainly they believe in him, and they believe that they can get the ball to him. But I just got to see a little bit more out of him, like you said. And maybe these next three games, show me a little bit of, you know, fight and show me a little bit of resilience and kind of, you know, and he, whether he reads or listens to anybody, just go out there and play for those last 3 weeks and knowing that going into next year, you're going to be the third receiver with two guys that are just really good. And that's going to give you an opportunity to make a lot of plays.
You know what? I was at the game. I think I'm going back about 3 years ago. The final game, homestand of the year, final game against the Eagles.
He had a huge game, two touchdowns.
And they blew the Eagles out. And that, to me, that was Reuben Randle's coming out party.
Yeah.
And, you need another one of those.
I was on him ever since, man. I say it now. He's as good as any receiver on that team when his head is in the game because he's shown he does have the capability to make the big plays and really, really, really draw that kind of coverage, which, like I said, going into next season, that's going to – you know, you're going to leave a guy like Beckham open. You're going to leave a guy like, you know, Dell open. You're going to leave a guy like Cruz open. So that's, you know, I just like to see him really end the season strong and, doubt, and you know, shut a lot of the doubters up. And thank you for taking my call, guys. You guys are great.
You're welcome. Appreciate that, Steve. Thanks so much. And what Steve is pinpointing, you know, the importance of that third option, Jeff. And if you're anyone, whether you're currently on the Giants or in free agency, you're thinking about signing with the Giants, that's an attractive group to know that you'll be playing alongside Victor Cruz and Odell Beckham. I mean, there's going to be plenty of targets for the tight end position and for a guy like Reuben Randle. So the opportunity's there. It's just for the taking right now.
And for the backfield. Because,
correct.
You know, if they happen to shut down those three guys we just talked about and they're dumping passes off to the, you're trying to get Andre Williams to learn how to catch the ball, they've done that. But if you, what I like to see out of Reuben Randle a little bit more, I mean, the guy can catch the football. He's got size. He's got, you know, his route running is okay. I think and he could get better. But just show me something a little bit more after the catch. I think that sometimes, you know, whether it's just effort is not there, I don't know. But that's just, you know, from a perspective, my perspective, just a little bit more after the catch. And a little more physicality from that position.
And if you go through the teams that are in postseason contention, as I'm looking through the standings right now, Jeff, you know, one of the common themes, and the Giants certainly have the people on the roster to accomplish it, this is that third option. I mean, Dallas, for example, what Cole Beasley's been able to do the last few games. I mean, that has been a guy taking advantage of double teams going the way of Dez and Terrence Williams and Jason Witten. Beasley comes up with plays. You look at the Lions. Calvin was hurt. Golden Tate had a nice stretch where he was doing some damage. Green Bay, Randall Cobb and Jordy Nelson. So you have Eddie Lacy and James Stark step up. You know, when there is focus on one or two individuals, when you have that third option, it can certainly do wonders.
You can't cover everybody.
Correct.
You can't do it. And it's a good point. And I think that's something that you're right. If you're looking to next year and you see a healthy Cruz coming back with the production of Odell Beckham and now you have a Reuben Randle, that's a heck of a – that's kind of what they were expecting this year at the beginning. You look at Jerry Reese and why and look at Ben McAdoo. They said, "Hey man, we get this Odell Beckham guy. We got Reuben Randle, who's a quality third receiver. We've got Victor Cruz, who's our number one guy, and now we get this other guy, Odell Beckham. Well, look at this kid, what he does in college. This could be something special." That's what they wanted. They're going to get it next year. Unfortunately, what happened to Vic, but you know. Hopefully Victor can come back and be healthy. And like our caller earlier said, if he's 95%, that's okay, you know.
And it
we'll take it.
It gets back to the injuries and how much of an impact that that has had on the roster.
Oh,
and Antrell Roll was talking about this in the locker room this past week leading up to the Titans game. Nobody could have predicted the amount of injuries that have taken the toll on this team. Because, as you mentioned, you look at this roster coming into training camp, Jeff, on paper, and, I mean, you're getting excited. You look at lining up all these guys on offense and defense.
And you were looking at depth. I mean, we looked at the defensive backfield. We were like, okay, yeah, wow, yeah, look, we got three safeties. We got Stevie Brown, Roll, and now Demps, who's a, you know, quality guy. He's going to play more special teams. But then you look at Thurman. You got, you know, you got Prince, who's coming into his own. You just got Cromartie that you just signed. And then you go behind them. You got McBride, who came on good last year. You were hoping that the Hosley would be better than he was. But, you know, the depth at that position, and now you're sitting there. We got guys that are playing in the Giants game last week that are just off the streets 2 weeks ago. And so, yeah, I mean, you look at this team, if they can get healthy and come back next year, you know, and compete, that'd be a good thing.
And speaking of that comment on Twitter, Steve at Stosh4256 says, with Cruz coming back next season, if the Giants can get some more consistency from players around him, they're going to be very dangerous offensively next year. And I think a lot of people would agree with that sentiment. You have this team back at full health, all the options, it's going to put the strains on the opposing defenses.
And just collectively as a whole, all right, everybody just plays better. Okay, Odell Beckham can play better. Okay, I guarantee you he's not great getting graded out 100%, although he's pretty damn close. But Eli, everybody can play better. And when that happens, the team plays better. You start accomplishing some of your goals that you're going into every game. Your game plan opens up a little bit more because you're able to do things. Guys are doing what they're supposed to do. And that carries over to defense and special teams too.
And you can get a little bit more creative in the playbook, too. I mean, we saw some of that Sunday against Tennessee. Clearly, they think Odell Beckham could throw down the field, and he proved that. So, you know, who knows? You have him and Victor Cruz on the field at the same time. I'm sure Ben McAdoo right now is staying up late envisioning what he can do with all of these players.
I'm sure that there's probably some of these plays that are on Madden that you can draw up, you know. But, yeah, I mean, it's really amazing when you think about what can be there if these guys are talented and play better. And certainly it's really exciting to get – let's see it this week. This offense did pretty good last week. Let's see him carry it over to another game. And really, from my perspective, that's what I want to see this time. I want to see the team go from – remember when they beat Houston and then they beat Washington? You know, they put back-to-back wins together and two impressive wins. Let's see it again. Let's see this team now go down, come here at home against Washington and play good again for a second week in a row, and not to go out and make the stupid mistakes that they made against the last three teams that they played before they played the Titans.
Well, you look at that stretch that you just referred to, Jeff, Houston, Washington, Atlanta, that was that three-game winning streak. They ran the ball effectively during that stretch. They protected the football. There was offensive continuity. You know, that's the goal heading into this Washington game, and clearly they've accomplished that already against this Redskins team. It's a matter of can they duplicate it at home and giving the fan base something to cheer for throughout the course of four quarters, something that they put together against Tennessee, completing and finishing
completing
the game.
And finishing, and the one thing you have to throw caution to the wind here a little bit is the fact that, you know, in a locker room, when you haven't won a game in a long time, and you finally win one, you look back and you go, okay, what? Wow, that's great. You can't let down. You can't just sit there and go, okay, guys, we won a game, then we're good again. You're not good again. You've won four games on the season. You know, press forward and don't give up and just keep pressing and pressing, because you got young guys in that locker room and you got to teach them how to win. And we've talked about that before, is, you know, can you do that? You know, yeah, your veterans have to teach the young guys how to win, and that comes from preparation and practicing hard this week, and not to go in and say, you know what, the Washington Redskins are worse than us, you know, we're going to beat them. Bull, they're a division rival. Throw that out. They're in the division. And Coach Coughlin will tell you they're in the division. It's
and
an important
teams
game.
Teams know each other well.
They know each other well. So
yeah.
You cannot let your guard down just because you won a game. That's not going to work.
201-939-4513 is the telephone number, 201-939-4513. Speaking of carrying over production from one game to another, this is going to be another game where that offensive line that started the season is going to be back together. Keep in mind, this was the first game back for Justin Pugh after missing a few games with the quad injury. You had Richburg reclaim his starting job at left guard. So, you know, that's important, too. And we talked about this last season, Jeff. When you play the game of musical chairs and you move guys in and out of the lineup, and part of that is due to injuries, you know, it's hard to have a continuity going between you and the guy next to you on the offensive line. I mean, there was a game where, you know, Dallas Reynolds is thrown in and John Jerry's got to move to right tackle. No matter who you are, whether you're a rookie or a veteran, if you're not getting practice reps with that guy, it's very difficult to go out there and in the blink of an eye focus and
Dallas Reynolds
carry that over.
Comes in for the first play in a goal line situation and jumps off sides. I mean, that goes to show you that you're not used to playing the cadence. You know, in practice, you're not used to hearing Eli Manning, maybe from the side, but not when you're in a stance, because Dallas Reynolds isn't taking first team reps with Eli Manning. So, you know, it becomes a little bit, important to play together and get the chemistry, because Lance, if I'm playing next to you and we're playing together all year, I'm kind of know your tendencies. I kind of know what you're thinking. We kind of start to think alike. And when we got a block that we have to make, or we have a call that we need to communicate, the more we play together and next door to each other, the more we kind of understand each other. And when you get guys that are coming and going like this, you know, they're missing blocks because they're just not sure what you're doing or what I'm doing, and that makes a whole big difference in how the production of your offensive line works together.
And it's a good thing that we are just examples, because if the two of us were playing offensive line, I think this team would be in trouble.
Whoever the worst defensive line in the league is, they would have at least 10 sacks on us in the first minute.
You may actually have an opportunity to lock up with a guy. I may run the opposite way, so you have a chance.
No, I don't have a chance either, so I'll probably be running with you.
201-939-4513. Let's try to squeeze in a few callers here before we wrap up the program. Joel is in Arkansas. Joel, what's happening?
Hi, Joel.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. Doing well, Joel. What's on your mind? What you got?
Oh, man, I've got the New York Giants receiving core on my mind. I'm thinking that with Reuben Randall and his abysmal offensive performance this year, I'm thinking, when are we going to give Corey Washington a starting job in the latter part of this regular season? Of course, playoffs are out of the question. I think it's time that we give more of our rookies a shot at, at a little bit of maybe fighting for a job, going into next season. So what do you guys think of possibly putting Corey Washington in the first quarter, opposite side of Odell Beckham, with Preston Parker in the slot?
Well, I get what you're saying, but that's really kind of what preseason's all about. I mean, Corey Washington has not earned his way onto the field yet. He doesn't get it done in practice. He does not carry it over into the games. He's young. He came from a program that barely anybody knew about. So the game is a lot bigger to him than he realizes. And the fact that he's playing special teams and he's just kind of getting used to the speed of the game and things like that, he's just not ready yet. And that's a lot of people don't understand that because of this, what he did in the preseason and even what he did in the regular season a couple times. He got in there and make some plays. But on a consistent basis, throwing him in there in the starting position, I just don't think that anybody would have any confidence that he would do the right things all the time. I'm not saying that he wouldn't make some plays, but you can't throw that at the expense of being inconsistent on not getting things done. Because what happens, he runs the wrong route one time and Eli throws an interception, it could be the game.
Hope so what are your thoughts of possibly moving Reuben Randall after his season? What do you think the Giants will be doing with him going forward?
Well, I think that certainly, Reuben Randall is your third receiver unless somebody comes in training camp and beats him out, and that could be Corey Washington. You know, they're both big guys, but sure. I think that another year under Corey Washington's belt, another offseason, another OTAs and mini camps and training camp, those are reps that he's going to get. And you look at what happened last year, and I was thinking that this was going to be a big year for Reuben Randall. I really do.
Absolutely.
Because look at all the reps that he got in training camp this year. And so I just thought that he was going to be the guy. And, you know, he just hasn't panned out the way I want him to, but that certainly doesn't say he's never going to be, you know, anything going forward. But I think there'll be a true competition at that next year. I really do.
All right, Joel, appreciate the phone
Thanks,
call.
Joel.
And keep in mind, Randall is still on that rookie contract, so the Giants don't have to do anything in terms of a transaction.
Yeah.
He's still on his rookie deal. It'll be his final year, and they'll go from there. And the more talent that they have at wide receiver, the more competition and an opportunity for guys to fight for roster spots, which is something that the Giants have done each and every offseason. They always bring in a number of guys.
Hey, it's all about competition. And you know what? Yeah, you can make the roster out to what you think it's going to be. But inevitably, every year, there's a guy like Corey Washington who makes the team. And then let's just see how he works out going forward. One example is Victor Cruz. Okay, the guy comes in and earns himself a job, plays on special teams, goes into the next year, and the rest is you know about. So it can happen. But the one thing about the National Football League is that there's always competition, and nothing's handed to you ever. You've got to earn it. You're getting paid a lot of money, and the organizations don't like to write checks to guys that aren't earning it. So if Corey Washington comes in here next year and competes with Reuben Randall, and he wins the job, the Giants have no problem writing that check and giving it to him. Trust me, if he's going to make plays, then who cares?
Let's head back to the phone lines, 201-939-4513. Frank is in Tampa. Frank, what's happening?
What's up, Frank?
Hey, guys. Hello. How you doing, guys?
Doing well, Frank.
Good.
What's on your mind?
Good, good. Well, I was thinking of a couple things, but then when the gentleman
That's always
brought up
dangerous,
wide,
but what you got?
Yeah, but when he brought up the wide receivers, my goodness. You know, I watched, this is 3 years now of Randall, and I look on him as just a gross waste of ability. I mean, you watch, just look last night. Look at the difference between when Beckham catches the ball on a punt and him. There's no explosion. You know, part of it's that he's a long strider, but there's no aggressiveness to his game. There's no explosion. You know, he just lopes around. You know, that combined with the fact that, you know, you don't trust him even with the ball. He can't play outside of the lines whatsoever. You know, he can catch a ball going across the middle. But that's about it. But it is frustrating. Even on the trick play yesterday, you know, if Cruz had been in that game, we got a touchdown. He'd have sold the play. You know, he's just loping through his, you know, through his route. He should have been open. He just, you know, the guy can't play. I put him up with Jernigan, you know, the same deal. I mean, except this guy's had all the opportunities in the world. Well, Mr. Mara said last year, you know, why did it take us 3 years to find out what Jernigan had? Well, we did. It didn't take 3 years. He stinks. He doesn't have any talent. And, you know, you look at the, you know, when I get a kick out of when I hear when Roman is on and he talks about, you know, that coach always says if you have 6 hours to cut down a tree, spend 4 hours, you know, sharpening the axe. Well, that's all well and good, but at some point, it's time for a new axe. You know, you get that new axe, and then you can spend those 4 hours, you know, working on something else, which is what we need, the talent evaluation. I mean, I went back and looked it back to Sonoris Moss and forward. The tight ends and wide receivers that have been drafted by this team is just abysmal, like the gentleman said earlier. And when people say, what about Cruz? Well, to me, Cruz was a mistake. You know, if Cruz had been evaluated properly, he would have been a first or second round draft pick, not a free agent. So, you know, people can't tell me that was a huge move.
No, what about Odell Beckham, though?
Exactly. Finally. But you know, we don't have that big receiver, you know, and I don't think Randall is the guy. I mean, he just doesn't seem to have the heart. I thought out of embarrassment almost, you know, a young kid comes in, same school, you're supposed to be the mentor, would have sparked him. But, you know, I just don't see it, and I don't think he's ever going to really pan out. But, you know,
it almost feel like the Odell Beckham outworked Reuben Randall in college anyways, you know? You think?
Yeah.
And you're right. You'd think that maybe that would rub off on him a little bit. But I agree with you in the fact that it's just sometimes you just don't see the – it's very lethargic is the word.
Watch him catch the punts. I mean, amazing. He's got that little hop, you know, when he catches it. But there's no – you know, there's no thought about driving, you know, driving ahead. If he does run, he runs wide, and he's such a long strider. He's got no, you know, great speed. He can't get loose. You know, he reminds me of Amani, except, you know – without the talent.
Sure.
You know, he runs like Amani.
You know, real quickly, to when you said about punt return, isn't it nice, and you know, the last punt returner that I really
I know
loved,
what you're going to
okay?
say. Go ahead.
Okay, I'm not even going to say it. Okay, I mean, really, you think about Dave Meggett was the last guy that even gave you a chance, right?
Oh,
is
gosh.
Is it just so good to see Odell Beckham catching that football on a punt return and knowing that there might be something happening on this play?
Because yeah, and being frustrated, you can tell when he has to make a fair catch.
Yeah.
Randall makes it look like that's his goal.
Well, I think they tell Randall to get out there and just fair catch it and give the ball back to the offense. But
yeah.
Odell Beckham he reminds me a lot of, and I'm not even comparing the two, but I'm just saying as far conceptually as how it is, the DeSean Jackson, you know, when he first came into the league, he was making plays and on special teams and return. I used to hate to kick to that guy because he was just like Odell Beckham. You never, the guys covering, none of them were as good as him. And that's the way you're seeing it nowadays with Odell Beckham. He's going to score some touchdowns, and maybe it's next week or whatever, but he's gonna bust one.
And, Jeff, speaking of DeSean Jackson and Beckham in terms of at least what they can bring to the table as a wide receiver, and, Frank, you mentioned that, you know, you feel the Giants are lacking that big, tall wide receiver, but you look at a guy like Beckham, Frank, I mean, he plays above his height because he aggressively pursues the football. So I don't know of the importance of that tall wide receiver if you have smaller guys who play above the X's and O's, and on top of that, if you have Cruz and Beckham and you have a guy like Larry Dinnell who clearly has height, you know, that then all of a sudden takes away the importance of that tall wide receiver.
Yeah, except for the fact, though, that, you know, there is no, you know, there in certain situations, there is no substitute for height. You know, I mean, I had a hell of a vertical jump, played basketball for years, but, you know, as a 6'3 guard, you know, no matter how I could jump, still a guy, you know, a 6'7 guy is going to get it over me just because I'm in between jumps or something. Sometimes.
True, but it's all about what you do with that height. I mean, you do have to keep that in mind. I'll give you the height does give you an advantage to start, but you then have to use that to your advantage to finish.
Well, Plaxico's a fine – Plaxico Burress is a true analysis there. I mean, you think about what he did and how tall he was and how the Giants used him in that 07 season. We don't win the Super Bowl if we don't have hit Plaxico on our team that year because he was just amazing. He really
was. That brings me to the plays on the goal line, though. You know, the week before with the three, you know, fade patterns, and 2 days ago, you know, I hate that play only because, you know, especially with, you know, and they take all the other receivers out of the game, but, you know, there's no options off of it. Eli is back and he's throwing that ball before. I mean, if he had a second to look, he'd see the guy, you know, Donnell's blanketed. So off of that play, there are no other options. That's why I hate it. Three times, you know, the game before they threw it, and three times if they could have, you know, stopped the play and looked, they go, he's not open. Not a good play. Whereas, you know, the other plays they're running, they got 3-4 different receivers. Eli can go through his progressions. I hate that play. Absolutely hate it. It just doesn't give you any option off of it. But just the last thing, though, guys, too, though, in terms
real quick,
the talent evaluation. You know, the thing that concerns me when I look at the offensive line is I don't understand these players. I mean, it seems like we got big guys who play small and small guys that play big. You know, we got Richburg and Pugh. They're undersized, but, you know, they play strong. You got, you know, Beatty, Jerry, Brown, these huge guys that play so soft. It's like they're backwards. I don't understand the talent evaluation. Maybe you guys can tell me.
I have no idea.
I mean, you just want offensive linemen
you know
that are physical and can block. And appreciate the phone call, Frank.
I love you.
Well, we're up
Jeff
against the clock. I mean, I could sit here and tell you a little bit more about it, but, you know, we got to go.
Well, Jeff, you played offensive line
back, well,
right?
I bailed the offense out. That's what I did on fourth down, so. Listen, I love the offensive line. I used to hang out with those guys all the time. But offensive line, they have to have a mentality, whether you're big, tall, medium. You got to be nasty and mean and be able to just fight your butt off every single week. And you know what? And just get better and better. And good things will happen. If you're a soft lineman, forget it. You'll be out of the league.
Well, before we wrap things up, we want to remind everybody that listeners are winning cash every week at DraftKings.com, America's favorite one-week fantasy football site, where it's like a new season every time you play. Hurry, get free entry into the $100,000 fantasy football contest this weekend, where first place takes home 10 grand. Head to DraftKings.com now. Enter code BLUE to play for free. DraftKings.com, bigger events, bigger winnings, bigger millionaires. Enter BLUE for free entry now at DraftKings.com. That is DraftKings.com. Appreciate all the phone calls, all the tweets. tweets as usual. Big Blue Kickoff Live with you each and every weekday at noon Eastern. Jeff, always a pleasure working alongside you. We will see each other on Friday again.
Yep.
Jeff and I will be back to take more of your phone calls and your tweets. Anita Marks and Roman Oben will take you tomorrow for an hour, so look forward to that as we are having everything covered from every angle with respect to the New York Giants. Enjoy the rest of your Tuesday right here on Giants.com.
Oh, here we go, here we go. Here we go. Come on, man. We need the work. Let's go. Let's go.
Down the middle of the field. He's got Cruz. 35, 30.
Want to get no punch. Broken intercepted.
Touchdown, Giants.